life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is this combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
What's going on, guys? And we have a real special show today. This is Mo Rock speaking.
And this is Mark Voss speaking. How are you guys doing?
Now, if you guys looked at the title of the show, you will see that the title of the show is Dr. Voss's New Book. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you guys have been following the show for the past couple years on the different networks that it's been on, you know that for a couple years now, this book has been in the making. And we have some super exciting news about it. And Professor Voss, before we get into that, thank you for bringing me this nice Frappuccino in the studio. You know, that was very kind of you to do. We're live right now. And tell them a little bit about the background of this book, what it means to you, what it means to the, you know, world at large. And let people know what exactly it is we're talking about for those few that don't know.
Well, March 23rd, my book publishes. Officially, you can get it on Amazon, Overstock, Barnes & Noble, and PalgraveMacmillan.com, who is also the publisher, by the way. And the title of the book is Regimes of 20th Century Germany, From Historical Consciousness to Political Action. And most people really don't think, well, you know, what does historical consciousness mean, and how does this lead to, well, in short, what I wanted to figure out is, can history serve really as a tool or as a means to prevent tyranny and dictatorship from happening again in the present or future? And I used Nazi Germany and the German Democratic Republic as example regimes. And I asked over 3,000 survey participants to basically discuss their knowledge of Nazi Germany, of the GDR, and to figure out if this prompted them or would potentially prompt them in the future to overthrow their government should something like that come about again in similar or comparable forms. And I don't want to give away too much now, but long story short, the people I asked were former East and West Germans and former East German protesters who actually participated in the revolution that overthrew the GDR's government and ultimately the state as a whole. And interestingly enough, these guys had some really interesting things to say about that. And long story short, it took about 17% of the population to overthrow the GDR. And I then juxtapose that to current political trends to see what the likelihood of a revolution in Germany would be like today. And on the extreme end of the spectrum, we have 4% of Germany's population that is ready to say, you know what, we've had enough. We want to overthrow the government, which is not that high. But when you add up the mid-level numbers, you get to about 17% again. And so it's not impossible, ultimately, is what we're getting at here.
So you're saying that right now the statistics show that today's Germany is very similar to that time?
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily it's the same. If trends like what happened in the 1930s and 40s in Germany were to reoccur again in a comparable fashion, then people would stand up and fight against it. And same if something like the GDR government came up, they would do the same thing.
Do you feel like that's what's going on now with the European Union?
Well, me personally or the respondents?
Well, both.
In terms of the respondents, there was an interesting dichotomy there, actually. West Germans, former West Germans said, if an event similar to the GDR coming about or Nazi Germany coming about, like the Holocaust, for example, if something like that were to happen again now, I would stand up and fight and definitely overthrow the government. Whereas the East Germans were saying, oh, yes, we see that all of these things going on now are not that great. We're not exactly happy with the political situation in Germany. However, we just don't feel like doing anything. So on the one hand, you have West Germans saying, oh, we'll totally do something about it, but we don't see it happening. And on the other hand, you say East Germans and say, yes, we see political issues we don't agree with, but we don't want to do anything about it.
So you're saying that the former communist area of Germany,
mm-hmm,
to this day, the populace has a complacency.
They, more or less, as my survey participants have shown, is they more or less know that they're unsatisfied with the current political order in Germany, but they don't seem to be motivated to do anything about it.
Is that an accident, or do you think it's interesting how it happens to be the region where the communists used to be that simply feel complacent to the situation, and they don't have that self-reliance that capitalism is so proud about?
Well, there definitely are noticeable differences between East and West Germans, even to this very day. To this day, they still talk about this phenomenon of wall in the head, or Mauer im Kopf, as they say in German, which basically means that the Berlin Wall that physically divided East and West Berlin and the larger border between East and West Germany is still there in a mental level. So in other words, East and West Germans still think differently about certain things. And you could make the argument that given how the East German society was, not everything was necessarily as bad.
Grab the sphere of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is this combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
Edutainment. So grab the sphere of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
Interesting. So a lot of people say that Germany, since the time that the wall went down, is all one. It's a union. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that you have this thing in the minds of the region that was formerly known as East Germany.
Yeah.
That in their minds, there still is a wall. Can you go a little further in that?
Well, so there have been several studies done on this, and they've shown that East and West Germans still think differently in terms of their culture, right? East Germany existed for close to 40 years, and the Berlin Wall itself was standing for over 28 years. So in that time, you had cultural differences actually develop within one country. So to this day, you know, a lot of East Germans, they were not necessarily worried about having to find a job because it was already set for them, right? It was much more directed than it is now for them. Now they're out there trying to work and find jobs to sustain their lives, whereas before they said, well, the government's going to take care of my housing. The government's going to take care of the fact that I will have a job in the field that I studied in, or, you know, for those that went to university. And for those that didn't, they had some kind of manufacturing job. So they always had something.
Is it possible for government to manage your life in that way and have it be done successfully?
Well, it depends on the perspective, and it depends on, you know, the cultural group and who ultimately you talk about. In one sense, you could argue that from a political standpoint, a leadership standpoint, the GDR was, up until its demise, of course, very much successful in managing a socialist utopia as they saw it. Were there problems? Oh, you betcha. The country wouldn't have disappeared had there not been these serious problems. From an individualist standpoint, though, or from a creative standpoint even, there were prescribed art forms that would limit people's artistic creativity and expression. And that was one of the main reasons why a lot of artists became dissidents, because they could not handle the fact that they were limited to what they were allowed to portray in literature, in music, and in painting, and you name it.
So when the wall went down, when that wall was torn down, Germany, they were technically imprisoned in that country, were actually sad. How many of them actually enjoyed being in that trapped environment and actually liked the system? Was it a substantial number? Was it a substantial percentage?
Well, actually, in my study, I go into that a little bit. You know, I divided it up between Nazi Germany and the GDR. And then the population, or the sample groups, were East Germans, West Germans, and then a boost sample of East German protesters. And I asked them questions like, or made statements based on the Likert scale, which, you know, many people know Likert scale as, from a scale of 1 to 5, how much do you agree with the following statements? And some were, not everything was as bad in the GDR as it is portrayed in the media. And I did the same thing for Nazi Germany as well, just to see, you know, where they fall in terms of Holocaust denial and where they fall in terms of downplaying the crimes of the regime. And you'll find that a sizable number of East Germans actually didn't see the East German regime as bad as Westerners do. You know, there's a much stronger anti-East German sentiment in the West than in the East. And I mean, there are several ways that you can explain this, right? You can explain this in terms of, well, East Germans, you know, they had loves, they had, you know, summer crushes, they had breaks with family members, summer vacations and on the Baltic coast. So they had a lot of fond memories tied in with living in East Germany. And that tendency, you know, even here, you could argue, you know, you've had fun birthday parties, you have good friends, you might have a boyfriend or girlfriend, you know.
So it's interesting. Sorry to cut you there, but I just find it so fascinating and so interesting how there's a lot of people that live or have lived. Right now, obviously, there's most of the world is not under that kind of tyranny. Of course, you do have your countries that do have tyranny. Let's not, you know, shy away from that fact. But fortunately, most of the world is not like North Korea or anything like that. Now, the question to you, though, is, and this is more just a statement than a question. First of all, it's fascinating how there's a lot of people that loved living in that lifestyle. And a couple of years ago, I was reading that there were some stores that opened up in Germany where these stores would sell, obviously it's not the exact same, mm-hmm. but pretty much the exact same packaging and content of foods, soaps, and things that were traditionally found in East Germany under communism, but now they're being sold and people are flocking to the store to buy these items that, you know, were given for free by the government to people in East Germany. How do you explain something like that?
Well, I mean, you know, this is something I've talked about with my with a friend of mine and a collaborator, if you will, and we've done projects together. With the Wende Museum or the Cold War Museum up in Los Angeles in Culver City. And there is kind of this socialist artifacts, which we can call artifacts at this point, have a kitsch value to them, if you will. So people are drawn to not necessarily the meaning that was behind these products back when they were available in mass to East German citizens, but they're more drawn to this idea of, ooh, look at this kitschy, for example, visor hat that I picked up off the streets in Berlin somewhere off some vendor. And to them, it holds more of a novelty value. But for East Germans that grew up with a lot of these products, you have to keep in mind what happened when the Berlin Wall came down. When Germany reunified, you had companies coming in from West Germany, basically in the eyes of many East Germans, and you know, I've had the opportunity to speak some of them, and they say that we basically felt like we were being invaded and taken over by the West. And what they mean by that is once Germany was reunified, icons, statues, stores, East German products, factories, all of this stuff was being bought up for the cheap and was being closed down. Things were being sold off. East German culture was being dismantled and it was disappearing. And people were really threatened by that. They said, you know, I've lived in this culture for 28 years or more. And now all of a sudden from one day to the next, all of it's gone. Like my entire cultural identity is gone. Imagine if from one day to the next, what we know as American culture would just disappear.
You have a West German background, correct?
Correct.
How is the relationship between West Germans and East Germans today?
Well, they have a saying, right? So in Germany, you call an East German an Ossi, and in the West Germans were called Wessis. So they have something known as Yama Ossi und Besser Wessi, right? Mm. In other words, Yama Ossi is an East German that always complains, whereas Besser Wessi means I'm a Westerner, so I automatically feel like I'm better than you, and I know more than you, and I'm smarter than you, and I'm better than you East Germans, in other words. Mm-hmm. And so there is this kind of arrogance that is, on the one hand, it is perceived by East Germans that West Germans have, and on the other hand, there's truth to that too, you know. They believe that, well, you're East German, you must not know what it's like to work out on your own or start your own company or do any of that kind of stuff, right? They think of them as lesser or as not as smart or as successful. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, that's really unfair. The good news is, though, the younger generations are not.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is this combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
And welcome back after the quick 30-second break. So, you know, it's interesting, though, because I never really thought of Germany in two categories, and most people don't. Most
right.
people just think of Germany. But since you have a German background, since you're a professor and you have your PhD in German history, you have a very unique perspective to the matter. What are the noticeable cultural differences? If you go to Germany now as a German, can you tell if somebody's East German? Can you just kind of tell?
Well, no, not so much anymore. I mean, I've met a few East Germans here in the United States. I've met East Germans living in West Germany. And one thing you will notice, though, is that in East Germany, a lot of the older folks were left behind. So the younger East Germans, when the wall came down, they went west or abroad. They left Germany to find work. And this was kind of a drain on the eastern part of Germany now. And the interesting thing is, you know, they've been building up that region for a long time now. Since the fall of the wall, everything's been rebuilt, more or less. And despite all that, you saw a lot of East Germans, especially the younger generations, leaving that area, even though they were building everything up, making it nice. But on the flip side, you know, it's been over 26 years now that the GDR has been gone. And you're actually starting to see, slowly but surely, people moving back to the eastern German areas that we now know as the new federal states. So, in short, no, you can't. However, when you talk...
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is this combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
You can't see, so grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
Welcome back. I love taking 30-second breaks. It gives me a chance to sip this Frappuccino, and, you know, that intro song is just so cool that I think people want to hear it 10 times every single episode. So for those of you that messaged us and said we love the intro, that's not just an intro. That's a theme song. We're going to take quick 30-second breaks all throughout the show because that's just how we do it on the Edutainment Show. We like to live on the wild side. We like to do stuff, break the barrier, so to speak. How about this refugee thing?
As long as our guests don't think think that we are one-hit wonders.
We have a caller. Okay, let's bring the caller on.
Let's do it.
Caller, you are live.
How you doing?
This is the Edutain Me Show, caller, and we're talking about the refugee crisis of Germany. What is your opinion right now on what's going on?
You are live on the air, sir. Can you hear us? I think we lost.
Well, he was not interested in the subject matter.
Apparently not. Either that or there might have been some.
Grab the sphere of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutate. So edutainment is this combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
Edutainment. So grab the sphere of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
Okay, well, caller, if you want to call us back, we'll get you on.
That's how you can tell this is a live show. You know, we have little technical problems every now and then. Well, that's okay. You know, that kind of stuff happens all the time.
That's right. So back to the subject matter. What's going on with this refugee situation? Something like straight out of the Bible.
Well, I couldn't help but notice that this isn't really that much of an issue or a topic, I should say, here in the U.S. But I mean, I honestly don't quite know even where to begin on that. It is such a huge issue that there are so many angles to this. We really have to sit down and we could do an entire show just on that. But in a nutshell, I'm sure as some of you might be aware, we have a large stream of refugees coming in from war-torn areas in North Africa and the Middle East, specifically Syrians, Libyans, in some extent, Tunisians even, that are streaming into Europe through the Balkans, through Greece, and into places like Germany, Sweden, and Norway, and you name it. And at first, originally, Germans everywhere were welcoming the refugees with open arms, and everyone was like, yeah, you know, we can do this. We can take in all these refugees and help them and take care of them. And that mentality has changed rather drastically over the last few months, specifically where a lot of Germans are now really irate and angry about the influx of refugees who, as many Germans have been saying, are not compatible with German culture. So I don't want to say that we're seeing a clash of civilizations in Germany, but we're definitely seeing a destabilization of society there, definitely.
Okay, what do you think the appropriate measure is to take when you know that there's a lot of innocent lives that are being dragged up on shore with nowhere to go and all they want is the opportunity to live and not die? What do you think the role should be for those people that are dying?
Well, they have an asylum seeker process, which isn't really working out right now. I mean, you know, it is of course important to allow people who are fleeing war-torn areas a safe place to go, especially women and children. The people that are coming over the border, though, and this has been kind of the main argument from people on the right who say, you know, having an open border policy for anyone to come in is extremely dangerous and reckless. And their argument is, if you do that, then as some ISIS fighters have already claim to be doing, is they will use this crisis to infiltrate Europe and send terror cells in there to attack places like what we've seen in Paris, and fearing more attacks in Europe, throughout Europe, and even Germany is fearing attacks from ISIS now because they sneak in amongst refugees. And I mean, in that regard, that is, it's not a concern you can just dismiss. On the other hand, however, we need to keep in mind that a lot of these refugees are fleeing the same people that are now being snuck into Europe, which is namely ISIS, right? They're fleeing the war. And if they're coming in there with and bringing the war with them, it's going to cause a right-wing backlash. And that is something we're seeing in Europe now. Specifically in Germany, you can see a backlash against the immigrants because they're afraid of the sexual assaults that have been happening. You know, it's not being reported a lot on, but the amount of sexual assaults since this crisis began have increased to a point where there have been 600% increases in women buying pepper sprays and other means of defending themselves. And, you know.
So you're saying that violence has gone up, rape has gone up, sexual assaults have gone up. According to what statistics?
Well, for example, if you check online, there's a German, it's called a rape map. They've set it up via Google where every single assault that takes place that has been listed in local news or in the police precincts, they make a marker of it, if it's in a swimming pool area or if it's on the street or something. And the really sad thing about this is, I mean, it's always important, you know, that everyone keeps themselves safe.
Uh-huh.
But this is leading to backlashes in other forms as well. It's not just, you know, sexual assaults by refugees. The flip side of that is you see right-wing extreme groups like neo-Nazi skinheads that are still very prevalent in some areas becoming more popular and actually going out and beating up refugees. And even just ordinary Turkish or other Muslims who have been integrated and have lived in Germany for many years now, right?
So, on this rape map that shows color, or shows, what does it show, a dot?
It's
a rape?
It's like one of those pinpoints
on
a map.
So, is it a different color pinpoint that you see if
Correct.
It's a German doing it versus a refugee?
It's, well, the way they've set it up is, so black is if someone was murdered.
Uh-huh.
Purple is if it was a sexual assault. And then they have a wavy one, which in the case that this happened in the swimming pool, and then it describes briefly what happened. So it'll say sexual assault, and then at the bottom it'll say Ausländer aus Afrika oder den Nahen Osten, something like that, which means, like, you know, a foreigner from what we believe is North Africa or the Middle East. And it doesn't specify anything more than that. However, I think the idea behind that is the government is trying to mediate between dealing with refugees, dealing with any criminal activity that comes along, and a right-wing backlash. Mm-hmm. And that really puts them in a precarious position.
Right. So what do you propose is done when it comes to these refugees who are seeking asylum?
Well, there are a few things that they're working on. I mean, if you're asking what I think
what
they should
think?
Do, what I think they should do is, well, given the amount of people that are coming in that are heading straight for Germany, which is somewhere around 500,000 people to a million people, those are really large numbers. The damage has kind of already been done in that sense that they're just being overwhelmed. You know, the social services are being overwhelmed and they're struggling to keep up. And that's really unfortunate because now you're having refugees that come here seeking asylum on the one hand. And on the other hand, the social services that are supposed to receive them and help them and find them a place to stay until they figure out what to do is so overtaxed that now they're becoming disenfranchised with the situation they find themselves in Germany. And so you actually see some of them heading back. I think the most prudent thing to do is to set up an international network, not just in Germany or not even in Europe alone, but also in areas in the Middle East that are not torn up by war, and that they work on a way to help screen them, give them any medical attention that they need, and process them through and allow them to move where they want to spend the rest of their asylum time if not permanently moved to those new countries. Again, there's no easy answer to this, though. It ultimately boils down to there are too many coming in, and the systems are overwhelmed and simply cannot handle
it. So how does the average everyday German feel about this influx of people that are seeking asylum and seeking help to live and survive due to the fact that it's not in their hands, but their country has been being blown up? How does the everyday German feel about it?
Well, look at the votes. I mean, Merkel's party is being incinerated right now.
For those that don't understand, please explain that.
So Chancellor Merkel's CDU, or Christian Democrat Party, has always been very popular in Germany. They've always received a pretty sizable amount of the vote. And now what you're seeing is a lot of people are voting not for the traditional parties in Germany, like the Socialist Party or the Christian Democrat Party, or any of the parties in the center. They're voting more for parties like the AfD, which is Alternatives for Germany. And the AfD party is an anti-European party, so they're anti-EU. And ultimately, they want to pull Germany out of the EU because they see it as a as a supranational entity that takes sovereignty away from Germany. And their response is closing the borders, which means no one gets into Germany, or in fact, it's now getting to a point where they're actually closing the borders with countries that border the Middle East or that are on the Mediterranean to prevent refugees from coming into Germany or any place farther north in Europe. And they're doing this, and I mean, you know, the Schengen Agreement is what they use to keep the borders open in Europe, so you can travel from Belgium to the Netherlands to France to Germany or wherever without having to go up through a border checkpoint. And this is now, it's basically under threat, and we'll see if they can actually maintain Schengen while also keeping the borders closed, which is kind of an oxymoron there. And is there a good answer for this? I have no idea.
Okay. Caller, where are you calling from?
I'm in Mississippi.
Mississippi. What's going on in Mississippi?
Oh, nothing much. It's just kind of hot and humid down here.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, sir. How are y'all doing? Well, I know y'all. Well, is Dr. Voss, y'all still talking about him? I just tuned in. I was a little late.
Oh, no worries. I just published a new book, and we're promoting it a little bit here on the show, and it's about
Germany.
Let
me ask you this. Are you paying attention to the news? What do you think about two questions for you, sir? First of all, what's your name?
My name is Ricky Rustin.
Okay, Mr. Rustin, are you voting for Donald Trump?
To be honest, I'm undecided.
Okay, and who are you leaning towards, though? I mean, everyone has their favorite.
I mean, I like Donald Trump. I like the idea of an outsider. I mean, you know, everybody likes the idea.
It's the same phenomenon that we're seeing in Europe, too. There's a lot of parallels between what's going on in Europe and here, especially in terms of the immigration crisis. And not sure at what time you tuned in here, but we were talking about the immigration crisis in Europe. Do you have any thoughts about the European immigration crisis or the open border policy we have here in the U.S.?
Well, I was telling my wife and the deacon in my church, you know, if we follow somebody like Hillary or Mitt Romney, we're going to end up in the same, you know, economic path as Greece. And if we can, you know, continue the bleeding heart immigrant policies, we're going to end up like France and their Muslim problems.
Mm-hmm. You want to elaborate? What do you mean by Muslim problems?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much sectioned off to where they got a little Muslimville or something, and, you know, Christians can't go around there.
Oh, are you talking about what are known as the no-go zones in Europe?
Yes, sir.
That's actually an interesting phenomenon there, because on the one hand, a lot of European politicians have said that multiculturalism has failed in Europe. What does multiculturalism mean to you, and why do you think European politicians would say that multiculturalism has failed?
Well, I don't know. I just think multiculturalism means anti-white, to be honest with you, and I think that many races see us as a threat. Mostly because of the incident.
All righty. Well, thank you for your opinion. Thank you for your opinion,
I'll
Mr. Rustin. Good luck to you in deciding who to vote.
Suck my dick. I'll eat a frozen turd. I'll eat a dry turd. I'll eat a wet turd. I'll eat a room temperature turd. What do you think about that?
How long were you on, man? Are they talking about it? Oh, shit. Oh, wait, are we still live? Well, fuck these guys. Hang up on them. This
is a commercial break. All righty, guys.
Are we in a commercial break? Did we lose them? Did we just lose them?
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to the next caller. Caller, hey, where are you calling from?
What the heck happened there?
Not it's quite Johnny sure. Vegas! Yeah. Johnny Vegas! Good to hear your voice. For those of you that don't know, Johnny Vegas is a very talented professional lacrosse player. He travels.
Hello?
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Back with Vegas Namer. Johnny, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Johnny, let the world know a little bit about the exciting stuff you got going on. You got one of the coolest Periscopes live streaming channels in the world. Let people know who you are, brother.
Yeah, well, my name is Johnny Vegas Namer, and I'm the son of the co-founder of E! Entertainment, Larry Namer. And what I do is I play lacrosse all over the world, and I'm also a YouTuber and a podcast host, live streamer. Yeah, I mean, I've been able to build a big fan base to the point where between YouTube, podcasting, and Facebook Live, and you now, I've got almost 500,000 views total.
Wow, 500,000 views total, and, you know, this is something that you've been doing, you know, from ground up. Let people know a little bit about that latest trip you had in Vegas. I saw a couple of pictures posted, and you know, I'm a fan of your work, and I follow your show. And those, you know, let the world know what Vegas has been up to.
Yeah, so the most recent trip was to Las Vegas, of course, and it was in January. And it was for two events. I was playing in the Sin City Box Lacrosse Classic. And that same week, I was also, I get a VIP pass to the AVN Expo every year. So that's the annual porn convention at leads to the annual AVN Awards, which is that same weekend. And it's a big, fun convention filled with a lot of porn stars. And, you know, what more can a guy ask for?
Wow. So I'm not sure if you've been how long you've been listening to the show right now, but do you have any comments on the immigration crisis in Europe, or the refugee crisis, rather?
Yeah, so I've actually got some ties to Europe and stuff. I've played lacrosse for Turkey's national lacrosse team. I'm a little bit Turkish. My great-grandparents on my dad's side were born in Turkey. And so, you know, I've got a lot of friends that live in Ankara and other places. And it's sad because there's been bombings, like several in the last 3 months in Ankara, where a lot of my lacrosse player friends from Turkey are in, and it seems like the world like really came together when France was attacked and stuff, putting like the image over their Facebook picture, but there's no talk about the bombings in Ankara, Turkey. And I mean, from my experience going there and playing with these guys, I mean, you can't just lump them all into one group and say, you know, oh, it's Turkey, a bunch of terrorists there. There's a lot of young kids and families that are just getting bombed.
Wow. Why do you think it is that you don't hear so much about the bombings going on in Turkey in comparison with the bombings in Paris? Why is that?
I think that people, like anywhere, anytime there's like a Muslim country or something, some group that, you know, some country that has ties to Muslim, and people think that Muslim, the religion is all just terrorists, but it's actually, there's a lot of Muslim people here in the United States and stuff. It's not all about that. I mean, I don't know personally what, you know, too much about the Muslim religion, but I do know that that's not that's not like terrorism. It's there's extremists in every religion. I mean, look at the KKK. They were Christians and stuff. It's like you can't just lump them all into one category. But I think that it's just that people have this feeling about Turkey and other countries in the Middle East, and they just maybe are afraid to speak up, or they just automatically think that it's not important to talk about.
Well, I certainly agree with you on the point that people have a tendency to kind of oversimplify matters and say, oh, the Muslims are all this, or the whomever, the Christians are all that, right? And, you know, it's kind of terrifying to see that this mentality is so prevalent and coming about. Considering what we have seen happen 70 years ago in Germany, you know, the topic has been Germany based on the book, but even there they said, oh, you know, all the Jews are bad, right? And so we can see, once you politicize this, what kind of terrible things can happen. And the question is, are you worried that we might see some kind of political movement against Muslims in Europe or even in the U.S.?
Well, yeah. I mean, so basically Donald Trump, it's starting to see, like, I saw this whole montage of his rallies and stuff and the way he acts. And he was encouraging people to commit violence and stuff. He's like, whenever there was a violent, like an angry protester, he was saying, you know, hit him on the way out, I'll cover your legal fees. And there's all these clips of him doing that. And one guy sucker punched a protester on the way out. And a reporter questioned Trump about it, saying, are you going to cover his legal fees? You said that. And he goes, oh, we'll have to look into that. Like, does he not realize his words are inciting violence? I mean, it's just got bad vibes all around it. Hello? I can't hear anybody.
Kind of lost you there towards the end. Are you still with us?
Okay. So I was saying that basically Trump, his words and his rallies are inciting violence against the protesters. And it's kind of like it's racial violence. You know, when people are getting kicked out for protesting, people are getting sucker punched, and it's just that type of violence. And the images I've seen of these rallies and the bad supporters that are attacking these protesters, it just strikes me as, like, you know, very, I don't know, it's just not right. And if that's where America's heading, it's not going to be a good thing.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. Yeah. No, we're here. We're here.
Okay,
well, you bring up a valid point. Pardon?
Yeah, for some reason the audio on like your end, like I'll, when I'm talking and then when I end, it's like I can't hear any of you guys for like 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, for some reason we have some connectivity problems. At least it's a sign that you know that we are live right now, and despite the problems we have here and there, it's all live.
Yeah.
But you bring up a very valid point with the insight.
Excellent points from both sides. Johnny, know where they can find you on Periscope, on Facebook, on Twitter. Let people know.
Yeah, and I just want to say before that, I didn't hear anything you guys said for the last, like, 25 seconds. It's the weirdest thing, the way the audio is cutting out. But, my Periscope is my Twitter handle, which is at Johnny Vegas Namer. It's J-O-N-N-Y, Vegas Namer. And then you guys can follow me on younow.com/KingVegas. Or youtube.com/ministryoflacrosse.
God bless you, Brother Johnny. I will see you soon, brother.
Yeah, man. Talk to you soon.
All righty.
Have a good one.
Vegas Namer. Caller, where are you calling from?
Texas.
How are you doing, brother? How's Texas treating you?
It's hot down here. I'm ready to move to another spot where it's a little cooler. How are y'all tonight?
So you're going to go to Minnesota, sounds like.
No, never Minnesota. Maybe Illinois. Oh, yeah?
Come on out to California and you can
nice.
Enjoy the nice, what was it, 80 degrees today?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been pretty warm here, too, but kind of dry heat, you know?
Oh, I hear you. So what's on your mind today? You want to talk about some of the issues we've been talking about on the show, or you have some other points you'd like to make?
Yeah, I've got a point to make. I'm pretty right-wing myself, and this is not a very right-wing thing to say, but these Syrians are fleeing their country. You know, where else are they supposed to go? Would you go east? Would you go west?
Precisely.
people are complaining about them just in droves coming into their country, but where would you go if Mexico decided to attack us and we'd go to Canada? Would the Canadians complain about it? I doubt it.
Well, you bring a valid point.
What do you do with all the
war refugees?
You put them in a ghetto. I'm just kidding. No, you integrate them into your social. You integrate them socially. I mean, that's all you can do. I mean, after World War II, there were so many men dead that Germany was, you know, taking massive amounts of Turkish men into their country, you know, to repopulate. You know, what's the difference?
Well, you know, you got a good point. You know, Germany lost 20 million people in World War II, and in the reconstruction of the western half and even in the eastern half, they had to bring people in to make up for the shortage in manpower. But
yeah,
in terms of these aren't all.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, in terms of fleeing a war zone, where do you?
Exactly, these people have nowhere to go, and would they go into Europe? You know, a place that could give them some religious freedom, or are they going to go into another country around their own country who will potentially get gassed by a dictator, or you know, just shot on sight? You know, we've been fighting these people for years, Christians and Muslims, and fighting mm-hmm. for thousands of years, and it's not a new thing, you know. And people are looking at it, you know, just currently we're looking at. I mean, that's relative to, you know, I guess the century you live in, but it's nothing new. You know, we've been fighting them for a long time. And war is one of the old things we've been doing.
Well, sir, you've brought up some very valid points. Are there any last things you'd like to talk before we wrap up?
I would love to see Donald Trump get fucked in the ass by a goat. I mean, like, honestly, that'd be the best thing ever. I hate the guy.
All righty. Well, you know, everyone has their own ideas and fantasies. And you know, that's what the great thing about being an American is. You're mm-hmm. free to think what you want to think
and
believe what you want to believe.
It's important to say, though, this is a family show, so we would appreciate it if there isn't too much swearing going on
Absolutely.
From our callers. But we have one more caller on the line here. Caller, you are on the air. What is on your mind? Hello, caller.
Uh-oh. Is it my turn?
Yes, it is. You are on the air. What's on your mind?
On my mind right now, man, is just how amazing this show was so far and how I'm lucky to be the last person getting to speak.
Well, thank you, and thanks for coming on. So what's on your mind, sir? You want to talk about any of the stuff that we've had on the show so far?
Well, I'm actually a little late. I just started listening like 5 minutes ago. So far, I've been listening to about lacrosse stuff and how Trump is not a very nice person.
Yeah, we're kind of all over the place here towards the end. Well, we were originally talking about the immigration crisis and the refugee crisis in Europe, and it has devolved into a lacrosse Trump festival here.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So what would you say about what should Germany, or specifically what should Europe do to address the immigration crisis or the refugee influx?
Firstly, my opinion is I think everyone needs to calm down and go on YouTube and just watch my pranks, man, and just have a good day, you know?
Oh, that's definitely right. Can I get your name, sir?
Of course. My name is Human from YouTube.
Ah, of course. Human, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. How are you?
So those of you that were listening to the show 2 weeks ago, Human was our special guest. We have another caller. Stay on the line, Human. We're going to bring this other caller on, too. Third caller, where are you calling from?
Bend, Colorado.
Colorado. Human, are you on the air still?
I'm still here.
Okay, so Human, what do you think about Colorado? Mr. Colorado, what do you think about Human?
I'll tell you what I think about Human real quick. Can I go ahead and start?
Certainly.
I think failures like you who call in and try to get attitudes, I think you should suck on a frozen nigger turd and a nigger dick and a nigger.
All right. That's enough
guys,
of that.
You know, this is the problem with live show. Human, we apologize about that, sir.
Absolutely not a problem. He has a point.
Alrighty. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as always, we promise to educate you and we also promise to entertain you. And if you listen to this show from beginning to end, we can guarantee that you get both of those things. This show is about to end. We got a couple of minutes. Human, thank you for calling in and being our surprise special celebrity guest.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you calling. Mark, plug your book a little bit more before the show ends.
All right. My book releases March 23rd. It is Regimes of 20th Century Germany, From Historical Consciousness to Political Action. It is an academic book and an empirical study on opinions in East Germany and West Germany today.
That is right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Edutain Me Show.